This is Purple Radio on demand.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of me and Isabel's podcast called Girls Are Loud. This is a podcast that discusses feminism and pop culture, sort of things that are going on in the world, specifically in relation to women, how they're treated in the media, and things like that. So this week, Isabel will tell you what we're discussing.
Hi, I'm Isabel, and this week we're going to be discussing the Golden Globes. It's got a lot of attention on social media and the news because, yeah, it's been quite controversial this time.
It's been decently controversial. Also, I didn't introduce myself, and I feel like we should do that. So I'm Talia. Obviously a student at Durham. I study English Lit, and I'm originally from just outside London. Let's say that. I won't be specific.
And I'm Isabel. I'm studying philosophy, and I'm from Bradford originally. And we're both at John Snow, by the way.
Yeah, we're both at John Snow College, up the snow.
Snow falls on top, that's so true.
So yeah, we're talking about the Golden Globes today, specifically about Joe Coy's controversial jokes and how they are sort of a reflection of treatment of women in the media at the moment, specifically Barbie, because that was obviously quite upsetting. So we're going to get into it. So to give some context on the Golden Globes themselves, which have actually become quite controversial as an award ceremony in itself over the last couple of years, it was criticised specifically for its judgment processes and how the nominees and the selection of nominees and then the actual awards themselves were typically bias and not diverse enough. And there was a case where Emily in Paris was nominated for a number of things, and if you like Emily in Paris, then sure, be my guest, but it's not a very good TV show, and it was kind of critically acclaimed to be that like low standard, and somehow it swept up all these nominations and even awards. And then it came out that they had actually like been paid by the company directors, that so a somewhat sort of coerced,
yeah.
Bribed into voting for them or nominating them, which is sort of an example of how the Golden Globes themselves have become controversial, which is why Joe Coy was actually chosen to do the ceremony in the first place, because he's not really like he's not very well known as other hosts have been over the years. And it's because a lot of people turned it down this year. They didn't want to host it because of how controversial the ceremony has become. So let's say that's why Joe Coy was there in the first place. And it wasn't a good decision, clearly. So we're going to talk about that.
Famous like presenter, I guess, of the Golden Globes is Ricky Gervais. Like, his are quite iconic, and I feel like they're a very specific type of humour, which we'll probably talk about later. So it's hard for someone to like fill his shoes, I guess.
Do a whole section they sort of, yeah. You know, arguing, playing devil's advocate specifically as to why it is a tough gig, and we have to give that to anyone who presents the show, and we'll discuss that.
And I really like the Golden Globes as well, because I'm a bit of a film nerd. Not like massively, but I do pay attention to what things get awards. This year I haven't seen many of the films, but I've seen a lot of the TV shows, so I was very keen to see who won.
Fair enough.
And I feel like that is the same for a lot of people.
Yeah. I don't really follow the Golden Globes, to be honest. I don't think I would have heard about this had it not been like all over TikTok and all over the news.
I nearly stayed up and watched it.
Really?
Yeah, but I couldn't find it. Like, you had to have HBO Max or something.
I just I don't know, it just happened. Like, I think it just came up my For You page, which is, you know, source of lots of knowledge nowadays. Mm. And I was just like, oh, that's a terrible joke, I can't believe you said that. And then I kind of got invested in it. But yeah, let's talk about the joke. So we can actually play it.
So this is one of the more controversial jokes, and it's about Barbie.
Oppenheimer is based on a 721-page Pulitzer Prize-winning book about the Manhattan Project. And Barbie is on a plastic doll with big boobies.
So, when I hear it, it just angers me. Because maybe some people haven't seen the film Barbie, but it's kind of known what Barbie was actually about. It's about the patriarchy. It was about, you know, the male gaze and women constantly being viewed as objects. I mean, as Barbie is a doll, but it was this whole idea that women are human in that sense. Yeah. That even Barbie is has feelings, is a person. And obviously, you have the really moving monologues made by like America Ferrera and Margot Robbie about, you know, what it's like living in a patriarchal society. That was what Barbie was about. It wasn't about a plastic doll.
No. And so much of the film, like, when it was coming out and the release and like everyone going up to see Barbie dressing in pink, like it was so great for women to like come together. It sounds cheesy, but I went with my sister, dressed up, we wore pink. Everyone in the cinema, there were little girls there were old women there. And it was such a great like moment, like when Barbie came out. And it was like quite a significant moment. So to undermine the whole film in that way.
I also think he makes it worse by combining the comment with Oppenheimer, because what are you doing? You're comparing Barbie to one of the most infamous men specifically in history. Like it's almost like paradoxical, like ironic in itself. I don't understand how he thought that was going to be funny, if anything.
Yeah. I think he was trying to be like, ha ha ha, like, I don't even know, because it wasn't even, even if it wasn't about Barbie with the whole significance behind the Barbie movie, even if it was any other film talking about any woman, like, it still just, like, wasn't funny. Like, it's not a very funny joke.
Also, he's a man. Like, I don't know, maybe I would feel slightly different if it came from a female comedian, because at the very least I'd think that she'd be self-aware of, you know, that of the irony of the joke, but I just don't think he was.
I was gonna say, coming from a woman, like if it was like Kristen Wiig's done it before, Golden Globes before, if it was coming from her, like it'd be more ironic and I feel like it'd play better. But this guy, sorry, I just said this guy, I should probably use his name. Was he even called? I've forgotten. Joe Coy. I don't really care.
Yeah, we don't care about him. We shouldn't know his name. Because that's why I'm saying, like, you know, he was in the role and, like, nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, keep going.
But, I was basically just saying, like, it wasn't really funny, especially with the significance behind it. And there was a lot of... people coming out like on TikTok, especially, that's where I saw a lot of it, hating on him, comments, this is terrible. But even within the crowd, like, you could tell the other actors and the other people there didn't like it.
Yeah, so if you watch any TikTok or any like video newsreel, you could just see photos and videos of some celebrities reacting to things. There was a point where Selena Gomez literally like put her head in her hands, and when he makes that joke to Ryan Gosling, and Ryan Gosling's just staring at him like he wants to kill him. Like, there's no humour in what he's saying. And you could just see, Margot Robbie's smiling, but she's probably, like, not happy about it.
And Greta Gerwig as well.
Yeah, she shrugs and sort of looks up.
She did, like, a feeble little laugh. Yeah. But I feel like, just when the cameras are on you like that,
you kind of have to do something, yeah.
You feel like you need to do something, which I feel like, you shouldn't have to feel like you should laugh at someone's jokes when they're not funny. But there's a lot of pressure to, like, be a good sport, I guess, and, like, ha-ha.
Yeah, because you don't want to make it awkward for the... Because it's an award ceremony,
Don't make it awkward for them, and then you don't want to make it look like you can't take a joke.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. But then if you look at some of the celebrity reactions afterwards... let's speak about what Greta Gerwig said. That was really interesting.
So during an interview on BBC Radio 4 today, Greta Gerwig acknowledged what had been said, the jokes that he made, and she said, well, he's not wrong, she's the first dog that was mass produced with breasts, so he's right on. And then she said, Barbie by her very construction has no character, no story, she's there to be projected upon. Which I feel like, if I was Greta Gerwig, I would not be that, like, gracious towards him. Like, I'd be more angered, but I don't know.
I think her being gracious towards him is the point, though. You know, it makes the point of Barbie, really, it does, that you can't respond to this, like, you know, the way that men put women down in this kind of industry. Like, if she responds, then she's, you know, like, it won't be any better for her.
Yeah.
But I also think she's not wrong. She makes a really valid point that Barbie is there to be projected upon. A doll, it's inanimate. Like, what did we do when I had a Barbie when I was growing up? I used to make up stories for it and, like, make it play with other dolls, things like that. So we, as people, whether we watch a Barbie or used to play with Barbies, we used to make things up. It's not necessarily... Yeah, she doesn't have a character. He's not wrong in that sense, but it's the fact that the character he assigns her is just... a female object. Yeah. Even if she was real, he's treating her as if, like, she's just there to be used. I don't know. There's something unsettling about it, but I don't think what Greta Gerwig said was, like, incorrect. I think it was actually quite a clever way of dealing with it, because she makes her point that men will continue to put women down in the industry, even though she's made an entire film about it. And,
like, I don't think I could come up with as clever as an answer as that. But I also don't think I'd be able to direct films like Greta Gerwig, so, you know.
Oh, no way.
She, but yeah, I completely, like, it is a mould. Like, Barbie is a mould. It's a plastic mould. It's a doll, so that we can then do whatever we want with it. It can represent anything it wants to us. But he chose for it to represent something very stereotypical and
demeaning. I'd also just, you know, we've written here, and, like, it's worth mentioning the sheer amount, and we spoke about it, the how meaningful Barbie was as a film and how impactful it was. Like, he compares it to Oppenheimer, didn't it, like, massively outdo it with a much smaller budget, with a much less known director. Like, it received 9 Golden Globe nominations. It won Box Office Achievement. It had the best original song. Like, I think I know people that went to see the film, like, at least 6 times. It just, people couldn't get enough of it. And I think that's important to this narrative. Like, he belittles Barbie as a film in a sense, and not just, like, you know, in a sort of demeaning, misogynistic way, but in just as an impact. Like, that deserves to be spoken about. How I just think it was sort of trailblazing as a film. I've never, you know, and people were, and do you remember that, just, you know, the male reaction to this film? A lot of men were like, oh, you know, like, can't believe they made this film. Like, they put women in power, and they presented men to be this and that. And everyone was just like, this is what cinema has been like since it began.
Have you ever watched any other film?
Yeah. Like, that, and it was,
it's, have you, like, ever been out in the world?
It's just, it was just genius, like, the political narrative. They had a Supreme Court of Barbie. It's just how clever that is. Yeah. And, like, they had just,
and then when the Kens took over, and then,
and then they all went, and then, yeah, it was genius. I think, and it was genius in a, not even in, like, a, it wasn't even in a subtle way. They made such a good point of the discussion about patriarchy, but they still made it funny, and they still made it, like, something watchable rather than, like, a lecture, like a didactic lesson. And I think Joe Coy just doesn't dictate that. And I want to say now, I loved Oppenheimer. It's probably, like, one of my favourite films of all time. It's amazing. And obviously it's a really interesting story, especially, like, history. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's any better than Barbie, because it's historical, because it's based on a book. Things like that doesn't make it any more valuable or better than Barbie.
Did you see him on the same day?
No.
I did.
You're crazy.
I saw Oppenheimer at 12, and that was till, like,
that's the most you thing I've ever heard. Like, of course you did that.
It was 12 till 3:30. I got some food, and then I went to go see Barbie at 6, and it was the day they both came out. I was there.
That's impressive. I actually don't know. I saw them apart. I saw Barbie with my mum and my dad, and I saw Oppenheimer with one of my friends, and, yeah, the only thing I'll say is, obviously, Oppenheimer was a cinematic experience in the sense that, like, the cinematography is just amazing, and don't get me wrong, I saw it in IMAX, so it was just unreal, but it wasn't the same as watching Barbie. You know, you're in a room full of people that clearly care so much and have been waiting so long for a film like that, to, like, sit down and have a film that sort of speaks to your everyday problems, and even in, like, a humorous way. Everyone was laughing, everyone was enjoying it. People who had seen it before were obviously singing the songs, and it was just, like, it was almost like being at the theater rather than, like, the cinema.
It was more of an experience.
Everyone was interacting with it, and I think, well, Joe Coy obviously fundamentally fails to see that, doesn't he?
Because has he even watched the film?
He says he loved it, so let's say, well, I'm sure he had to watch it to get that job, but, like,
he didn't understand it as it was meant to be. Or maybe he did understand it, but he just thought it was funny to make that joke.
No, but you don't. But I just think men, in general, cannot identify with that film the same way that women can. It's not the same for them. And it's also, like, it's not as impactful for them either.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, you went with your sister, you dressed up. It was a thing. It was a thing, and I completely felt that same thing. Like me and Isabel live in a flat with 9 boys, and we said to all of them, you know, how, you know, have you seen Barbie? And I've like literally none of them have seen it. Why? Because what is the appeal to them to go see it?
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, it's not like my thing.
A lot of boys would only see it like if they were fans of Greta Gerwig or they were fans of cinema, like they're a big film buff.
The only reason they see it is just look at Margot Robbie for 2 hours.
I'm joking, but
someone's probably made that joke even, like,
just disappointing.
It's disappointing, it is really disappointing, but we're kind of rambling about it now. I'm just wondering if there's anything else for us to unpick about Barbie.
I was just going to add that.
I mean, there's another thing that that Joe Coy said that it didn't, you know, it wasn't just that comment. He made the comment about when he said, "Oh, the most significant part of the film is when Barbie shifts from having a perfect body to having cellulite stretch marks and things like that." And then he said, "Or as some directors call it, character acting," which basically, why it's kind of, I don't know, I'm not a writer, but I think it means what he's saying is that, you know, when Margot Robbie stops looking perfect, she's not valued for her personality her image on the screen. She's now valued as just a character.
Yeah.
It's like, she wasn't cast because of the way she looked. She was cast because of her personality, which is, it's demeaning. He literally...
Because then it just acts like, again, she is an actual...
He makes her a doll. He makes her an inanimate doll. Yeah. And, the repercussions of that in like a grander scheme is crazy. He's basically saying that women with cellulite stretch marks and other very, very natural features on female bodies cannot be cast for their appearance. That's what he's basically saying. They're character actors. What? You know, that just comes into the narrative of years and years and years of women having to look perfect on screen. Like, I mean, that is something Margot Robbie is obviously very famous for.
Yeah.
Which I understand. I don't understand, but the joke that he makes sort of makes sense in that context. But in the wider context, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, because she was stereotypical Barbie. But then there were so many other Barbies. There was President Barbie, there was Lawyer Barbie, there was Dr. Barbie. And they were all different women. And there were so many, like, different races, different body types, different, just everything. And that was so brilliant. Yet he just, again... act like it was one image, one Barbie, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, he forgets that, you know, there were multiple Barbies. He almost, like, fixates exactly on Margot, and there were plenty of other famous female actors as well in these other important roles. That's really interesting. And now that we're still talking about his jokes, let's talk about Taylor Swift and the jokes that Joe Coy made about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And whether you're a Swiftie or not a Swiftie, that's fine. Just know that, you know, even without hatred people have Taylor Swift, this is probably something that wouldn't be considered acceptable.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could do a whole episode on the treatment of Taylor Swift in the media because it's kind of interesting. But, yeah, so Isabel, tell us what happened with Taylor Swift at the Golden Globes.
So she was invited because the Taylor Swift, like, Eras Tour movie was nominated for the box office, like, Box Office Achievement Award, which is the one that Barbie won, but she was nominated for that. And he said the big difference between the Golden Globes and the NFL, on the Golden Globes we have fewer camera shots of Taylor Swift, and that's because, I mean, people probably know this by now, but her new boyfriend Travis.
I should know, but I actually don't know.
Yes, I think it's Travis.
He's an NFL player,
so she's going to the matches as you would, like, if your boyfriend was a football player. And a lot of, like, these male football fans are complaining because there's so many shots of Taylor Swift. And, yeah, now he's doing that for the Golden Globes as well.
Thing is, I completely understand why people are angry about a shift towards Taylor Swift in the NFL focus. Like, I get that. It's like, you know, when one sort of like pop culture remains another thing you're interested in, it can be annoying. I completely, especially for an NFL fan, fine. What is the relevance of it though at the Golden Globes? And I don't know, something about it being Taylor Swift rubs me the wrong way, because I just think she gets so much hatred in the media. And we know that she does, because she made an entire album about it called Reputation a couple of years ago. And I just think they're going to make a joke at someone's expense. Why make it Taylor Swift? And also, you're not doing yourself any favours. If anyone has a massive fan base going to lash out at you, it's Taylor Swift's fan base.
Like, don't hate on Taylor Swift. Don't hate on BTS. Because them fan bases are a bit crazy. But also, I feel like, with Taylor Swift, most jokes that are made at the expense of Taylor Swift are to do with her relationships. Like, all of them. I remember, I think it was Ginny and Georgia. I think that's what it's called. It's a Netflix TV show, and they had a joke about like Taylor Swift having loads of boyfriends or whatever. And Taylor Swift tweeted, I know it said tweeted on Instagram, obviously she didn't do it, tweeted on Twitter and was like, this is really like upsetting. I can't remember exactly what she said.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
All of the jokes, all of the hate that she gets is because of her relationships with men. Like, why do people care that much? Why is it that big of a deal?
And that just comes back to our, you know, this is about feminism and pop culture. It's this idea that, you know, people probably couldn't care less how, you know, if a man dated hundreds of women. It's just the fact that she's really, really famous. She's had a lot of relationships. So what? She's a very attractive, hardworking, impressive woman.
Yeah.
She's allowed to have a, like, interesting, complex dating, like, life. That's fine. And I just think it was just taken too far. I think I remember that tweet. It was something like, hey, Ginny and Georgia 2014 want their joke back. Something like, it was something like that. And I think it's so true. Also, Ginny and Georgia is a terrible show. Not that I've ever watched it. I've seen compilations of it just looking awful. So for them to claim that joke, again, it annoys me even more. Like, what are they doing? It's just, it's always at Taylor Swift's expense. And like, the poor woman hasn't done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Genuinely, she's never done anything wrong. I'm a Taylor Swift fan. I'm going to be biased. But, you know, let's not gloss over the what happened with her and Kanye West. I just think, Joe Coy, what is the need to get up on stage and, you know, put her through something like that again?
Yeah.
She's probably going to write a song about you now. Like, you know, you know what I mean? You're not really... Yeah.
And I think, but maybe even... At the same time, like, it could be strategic for him to target Taylor Swift, because if he would make a joke about Taylor Swift, like, he would know beforehand that that would, like, blow up and that would get a lot of media attention. Do you know what I mean?
But does he want this kind of media attention?
Well, I don't know if it doesn't reflect that well on him. He was expecting.
Yeah.
But what would he expect if he said that?
Well, I mean, I think, as much as there are fans out there who love Taylor Swift, there are also people that hate her.
Yeah, a lot.
So, and this is a hot topic, you know, Taylor Swift's interference with the NFL. It's quite a big thing at the moment, so I guess he was just picking on it.
But I, like, same people who hate Taylor Swift, I was looking on TikTok and I saw a comment and it said, it's one tiny joke, oh my gosh, this is why I can't stand her. So people are still, people just love to hate women, apparently. Because I'm not, like, a Swiftie. I like some of her songs, but, you know, her popular ones, but I've never been a massive, like, Swiftie. So I don't have, like, any allegiance to Taylor Swift, but I just think there's things I probably don't like about her, but there's no need for me to go out of my way to let people know how much I hate her. Because I don't. Like, what's the point? Why is she so significant to your life?
I know what you mean, but I also just, I don't know, I think I think as a fan, I just feel like people just don't like her for no reason. And I also just think people fail to see, you know, she's one of the most impressive women we have in pop culture today. She's like the biggest pop star on the planet at the moment, so to speak, by Spotify, I think it was.
I think, but yeah.
Yeah.
By Spotify and, like, maybe even...
Let's not, like, she had the her and Beyonce had the most, like, highest grossing, widely attended tours of all time.
Yeah.
So, No, maybe it wasn't all time. I think it was just of the summer. I don't know. But it was impressive. Let's just say it was impressive. And I just think, you know, they're going to always make jokes about women who threaten what they still perceive as a male field. Let's say it like that. But I think Jamila Al-Jamil put this in a very, very clever way. I haven't got the Instagram post to hand, but she basically... you want to check it out, just sort of did a whole narrative on famous women and how famous women will always be put down and demonized in the industry because they're women and it's not really about what they do or how they do it. They can't win. And so if you want to look at that, then I think it was really interesting.
Yeah, because it's like Taylor Swift's a singer, but first and foremost she's a woman, and that's what like people seem to fixate on. This is gonna be this is gonna be so cheesy, but I was gonna say, in the words of Taylor Swift, and
no, you can't say it. Just say it.
I can't say it. I'm so sick. I don't even know the words. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man.
Yeah, no, she literally wrote a song about it. She wrote an entire album about being hated on. Like, she literally calls the album like her most famous song on it was "Look What You Made Me Do." Like, look what they made her do. Mm. They forced her into a position, you know, that was necessary. I'm trying to think what else is on that album. This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. Like, just, yeah, that is my favourite album. Just putting it out there because it is the best one. And she does rightfully...
Which one, Reputation?
Yeah, she does rightfully lash back at them. But we're going on a tangent here. The point is that Joe Coy shouldn't have made that joke, I think. And I just think the fact that it's specifically Taylor Swift makes it even worse, because I think she has had a really hard time in the media. I mean, most female pop stars have, but I think Taylor Swift especially. Yeah. And I think that was just in poor taste on Joe Coy's behalf, to be honest.
And he responded to it and said, "What hurts the most is me just supporting Taylor. I support her. I love her work. I got nieces that I bought tickets for. There's no ill intent in that joke." Which, it's like, you can say there's no ill intent in the joke from your side, but obviously she has been offended. And, you know, a lot of people would argue it's not that bad of a joke, or, like, how far is too far with a joke, people can't say anything these days. But then at the same time, it's that type of joke, again, to that same person, and it's just unnecessary. Like, there's so many other jokes that could have been said.
I don't think it's that bad of a joke. Isolation, it's not that bad. And I don't doubt for a minute that he is a Taylor Swift fan and, like, you know, he supports her, because that it wouldn't surprise me. But I think it's bad in the context of everything we just spoke about.
Exactly. Because, like, if you
said, and on top of Barbie, it makes it even worse. Do you know what I mean? It's the fact.
Yeah.
And you can see it. People are unhappy about it. Taylor Swift was unhappy in the moment she reacted, and then there's a really interesting clip of Selena Gomez rushing to Taylor Swift in like the first break there was, and they seem to be sort of gossiping about it. So people were obviously unhappy with the joke, but I agree though that in a sense that by itself it's not that bad. I don't think it is, but the Barbie one definitely is.
Yeah.
This one less so. I just think in contextually it's bad.
Yeah,
So, should we move on?
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about, what did Joe Coy say during the performance?
Oh, yeah, he said, "Yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? Shut up, you're kidding me, right? I wrote some of these and they're the ones you're laughing at." So, he's kind of pushing, I think he could tell the jokes weren't landing very well, and he's pushing the blame, saying, "I only got a gig 10 days. Like, I ain't written them all." Is that an excuse, do you think?
I don't think it's an excuse, but I think it does. Like, it's worth like noting how comedians don't write all that material, especially for big award ceremonies like this. I bet Joe Coy has a whole team of writers doing stuff for him. Like, and he's just the face that gets up on stage and says it. Like, there are most comedians do that. A lot of them don't write their own material. But then again, they have some say.
Yeah.
I mean, he must have approved it. He must have looked at it. He must have thought about how he was going to deliver it. And he could have been like, "No, I don't want to do that." But
yeah, some of them, the delivery could have been, he could have played them better, I think.
Definitely.
Not that I'm a comedic expert.
No, obviously. We're not, neither of us are, but I think...
Me and Tali are so unfunny.
I think we're quite funny.
No, yeah, we are. Yeah.
But yeah, and I also think what's bad is the fact that he's like, yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. Like, what? Why are you telling everyone that?
Okay, I don't care. If I was being you paid as much as you,
and who tells their audience to shut up? I mean, Ricky Gervais did that, but yeah. Ricky Gervais was like, that was funny in the context of, you know, and it's like, you're kidding me, right? Like, how are you making these people feel bad for jokes that aren't funny? They're like, how are you making them feel bad for not laughing at jokes that are inherently offensive? I don't, that's what I don't understand. I'm going to play the clip.
Yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? The key moment in...
He's almost, it's almost like he's accusing them. Yeah. You can hear the anger in his voice, and it's just sort of like, it's not fair. It's not fair because you got the gig 10 days ago, Barbie changed people's lives. You know, weigh it up a little bit. But I do understand that, you know, he doesn't write his material. That's one of the defences you can have in that sense. But, yeah, and in that, Joe Coy has then come out and said, you know, it was difficult. It was an off night for him. Like, what? What does that mean? It was an off night for you. It was a night where you chose to be rude.
And some people did defend him. They're like, Whoopi Goldberg said...
Kevin Hart defended him. Yeah, I was quite surprised by that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Kevin Hart, I think he's an icon, so I was just like, I just hoped he'd take off.
I'm not a big Kevin Hart fan.
Really? Have you not seen, I swear he's in Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so funny. Do you remember when Zayn broke up, when Zayn left One Direction and Kevin Hart was like...
Oh, that were kind of funny.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love Kevin Hart.
He's got a few funny moments, but like, I wouldn't say he's one of my favourite comedians. But to be fair, I usually prefer British comedians to Americans.
Sorry. Anyway, yeah, talk to me about what Whoopi Goldberg and everyone else said.
She said, I love Joe Coy. He makes me just crazy because he's funny.
What?
And then she was basically saying, I don't know I wasn't in the room. Like, I don't know whether it was the jokes or like, she was kind of defending and saying it's really difficult to do stand up and saying that he's a funny guy. Okay, well, maybe he is a funny guy, but he wasn't funny that night. It seems an odd, like, thing to say. Also, why... I don't know. Don't know why she's defending him so much.
Thing is, I think people do like Joe Coy. Like, Kevin Hart said something pretty similar, that he's a funny guy. That, you know, they make a valid point in both of their, like, interviews or comments about it that, you know, hosting the Golden Globes is really difficult.
Yeah.
Like, and I, that's why people were saying Joe Coy was a poor choice, because he doesn't know how to read that room. I think that's really important. Not in defending him, but sort of explaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's in my head, he's not as famous as the people there. He doesn't know them that well. He hasn't got relationships with them. He doesn't know how to entertain them in that sense, which is why, let's say when Will Ferrell presented it, he knows these people.
Yeah.
He's on the level with them. He can get on their wavelength and make something funny. Same for Ricky Gervais, I would say. But I'd never even heard of Joe Coy.
I hadn't until...
And a lot of people hadn't. And I think that's why, I mean, in that sort of, if you weigh it up like that, he probably wasn't the best choice to host it in the first place. But then, you know, we spoke about the fact that they kind of limited for choices.
Yeah.
But it just shows. Really, yeah.
Like, if he only got the gig 10 days before... Does that imply that there was somebody else, but they couldn't do it?
They dropped out.
Yeah, I was going to say. Because there's no way they left it till 10 days before to, like, pick someone.
Yeah, so true, actually.
It seems like somebody either got cut or decided to leave.
Yeah, I think it's a hard... It's always going to be a hard gig. All award shows are hard gigs. And you're in a room full of really, really famous people. That must be very, very intimidating, especially when you're not as famous as them.
But I feel like that's the difference with Ricky Gervais, because he sees all these people who are so much more famous than him, but his whole, like, comedy thing is that he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care how famous they are. He doesn't care who they are, what they've done. He's just there to make jokes.
Mm.
But then, for someone like Joe Coy, maybe for him, he tried to appeal more to the audience, but failed, obviously.
Hmm. I don't know. And also just to put that in context to people that don't know, Ricky Gervais did the Golden Globes and he made a very, very kind of infamously controversial stand-up sort of sequence. About, you know, Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein and things like that. And
the Catholic Church as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. Anyway, it was...
a lot of stuff
It was... I mean, obviously, we can sit back and find it funny, but it, at the time, it was, like, a big deal. But people laughed and, you know, it sort of... It went off okay, but...
People... I see a lot of people be like, oh, he's such a legend. He needs to be praised. He's saying what we're all thinking. And it's... I mean, to an extent, some of the stuff... Yeah, I thought it was funny. But how far...
What, Joe Coyle?
Ricky Gervais.
Because
how far can you take?
You know what? That's actually a really interesting perspective because he's not wrong. When he sat back and was like, I know you're, you know, Jeffrey Epstein's your friend, but I don't care. Because he makes, you know, he makes a pretty good point.
And the reactions from the crowd you can tell are uncomfortable, so
yeah.
There must be some truth in the statement.
You know what, put Hollywood on the spot when they need to be put on the spot.
Yeah. And
about things like that.
Big corporations, because he was like, oh, it's a TV show, I think it was the Today, I can't remember what the TV show was called. But it's about, like, diversity and inclusivity and, like, all these good things. Yeah, it's made by Apple, who runs sweatshops in China. And it's, like, putting people on the spot, but in a good way, because these are things that need to be said.
Yeah, making jokes about Barbie, for like, in contrast, right. Unnecessary. Yeah. It's controversial in very different ways, right? I mean, he's controversial in the sense that, like, unspoken things that need to be addressed. Joe Coy's controversial in, like, an offensive way, I think.
And unfunny. They're not as clever jokes. Ricky Gervais' jokes are more clever.
I'm going to say something, though. Like, how much have we actually seen of the rest of his show? I was just thinking about that.
I've seen quite a few.
Oh, I haven't.
I've seen... I can't remember... None of the jokes, like, stuck out to me. But they were kind of just, like... I feel like at award shows, they all have very similar types of jokes. And they were, I mean, it wasn't unfunny. It kind of was. They were just standard jokes.
I don't know. I was just thinking because maybe it gets better. But I haven't. But if I trust you, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. But...
Didn't really do anything interesting with
it. Yeah. I'm not surprised. Just from that clip, I'm really not surprised. But... I think as much as there's hate going around about Joe Coy's performance, there's equally as much sort of sympathising with him in a sense. They're like, oh, you know, like, he had a hard... It's a hard gig. It is. And
I'm able to do it. Like,
well, we're not even comedians.
But I mean, a lot of the people a lot of the people I feel like would be criticising him. Could they make better jokes? I've seen so many TikToks of people making jokes that he could have done instead, like Barbie and Oppenheimer jokes, or jokes about Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie that are actually funny and, like, uplift the film rather than demean.
I think maybe there's a culture that he felt that he had to fit into because of Ricky Gervais and all the other people that hosted it.
Yeah.
They had to, you know, insult and take the mick out of them, which is obviously not fair.
You don't need to do that anymore.
And I feel like it's relevant to talk about the Critics' Choice Awards that happened.
Were they Saturday?
Oh, they were... Well, this article came out today, so they were very recently.
They were this week.
Critics' Choice Awards, which was hosted by Chelsea Handler.
It was yesterday.
Chelsea Handler, just like by chance, happened to be in a relationship with, I can't remember if they were married, to Joe Coy. Like, ironically. And I think it's interesting to look at the comments she made about Barbie and Oppenheimer in contradiction to what he said. And also, let's not forget that she literally dug at Joe Coy as, you know, his flop of a performance.
Yeah.
So she said to Margot Robbie, by the way, Margot Robbie produced Saltburn, so you're a dirty Barbie and I like it, which was met by a lot of laughs, because that's funny. Yeah. And then she said... Which means Margot is responsible for not one but two spirited dance numbers this year, making reference to, well, Dance on My Way and Murder on the Dance Floor, in Saltburn. And I think that is an appropriate and, you know, sort of light-hearted, but somewhat, you can, you know, she got a euphemism sort of dirty joke in there. And it's still not, it's not offensive, you know.
And it's more funny.
Yeah.
Just plain and simple, more funny.
Yeah. And Yeah, I think it's that
and
simple.
It acknowledges the fact that Margot Robbie is like a film producer, because I think she was a producer of Barbie as well, Margot Robbie, but it rests in the in Joker's joke, it just made it, oh, Margot Robbie is a very beautiful woman, so she's a Barbie. She's like a doll. This one, well, Margot Robbie is more than that. She's more than that in the film and in real life.
Mm.
And it's good to acknowledge that.
Yeah, and like that's something we actually didn't discuss, how like there's something interesting about Margot Robbie playing Barbie and him insulting Barbie. Because obviously Margot Robbie's, let's say, sort of like fetishized quite a lot in the media. She has been. I mean, she played quite an interesting role in Wolf of Wall Street. And people made comments about that at the time, being like, oh, you know, you want to watch Margot Robbie on screen when she's some ditzy wife to a really important man, but you won't watch her when she's the leading role of some film about the patriarchy, which is quite interesting. But yeah, and I also think this humanizes Margot Robbie, because in Joe Coy's comment, he's like, Barbie's film about a doll with big boobies, and she's like, Margot played a role as a person, as a human being. There's something humanizing about this comment that just isn't there in Joe Coy's either.
Okay.
And for reference, because you know he compared Oppenheimer and Barbie as well. The comparison that Chelsea Handler made was, she called Cillian Murphy an atomic bomb Ken, which is just like a very, let's not say lighthearted, because nothing about that statement is lighthearted, but it's a more appropriate way of comparing them than it is to say this one's really important and this one isn't.
Because they're both important.
Yeah, they are.
To me, in my life, Barbie's more important, but they're still both very important.
And yeah, he fails. Well, Joe Coy obviously fails to see that. So I'm going to bring that to a close.
Thank you for listening to our first episode of the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed. Also, please listen to other podcasts on Purple Radio. There's lots of great stuff on there. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Thank you for attending.
Thank you.
Purple Radio Podcasts.
Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.